Drive Time on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Protect your family's future with life cover from Zurich. Talk to a financial broker to find out more.
Plans for a new register of short-term lettings and Airbnb properties have been delayed until the end of the year, at least, until in what's seen as a further blow to the government's housing strategy and specifically their aim to free up an additional 12,000 rental homes. Today, Irish Independent reports that the government had initially hoped to have laws here underpinning the register enacted by the end of March, but EU plans have now delayed that until December. Housing charities like Threshold say the number of short-term lets are causing disruption to the Irish long-term housing market. But Airbnb and groups representing the self-catering sector, well, they disagree wholeheartedly with that. In a moment, I'll be speaking with housing policy author and analyst Dr. Rory Hearn. But first, Drive Time's John Cook has been speaking to short-term rental providers. And John joins me now. John, what more can you tell us?
Well, many in the short-term rental sector question the estimated figures of 12,000 rental homes that the government is working off to free up more long-term houses, and many of those letting their properties on self-catering platforms like Airbnb say they were never in the long-term rental sector previously and don't wish to be now. I met first with Airbnb superhost Nicole in Limerick City's Georgian Quarter, where she was letting Italian tourists into one of her three refurbished apartments. Now, Nicole was in business previously, but she says that managing and maintaining her Airbnb properties is now her full-time job. Currently, she has a visiting college lecturer staying in one apartment and an international student spending a semester in the other. So she sees her role as providing what she describes as necessary short-term city accommodation. But given the scale of homelessness and the housing crisis, I asked Nicole if she has considered offering her properties as long-term rental homes.
I have thought about it. Of course I have. Financially, it's not really a good point for me to do that. I'm saving for my daughter for college and this is my job. And as any business, you put your heart and soul into it. So I wouldn't like to give it up. No.
You told me you'd be halving your income if you moved from short-term rentals to long-term lets. And you did apply for planning permission, though it was rejected. So what you're doing is technically against the law?
Yes, and I'm not the against the law kind of girl, but yeah, it is. So I found myself in a tricky place, but when I started, it wasn't. So the law went against me. I didn't go against the law.
What do you mean?
Well, they moved the goalposts. So,
well, they're telling you can't have a short-term rental like this in a rent pressure zone. Is that, that's why you didn't get the planning permission, is it?
Yes, that was. Mm-hmm. Now, all my one-on-one face-to-face with the planning office leading up to that time was really positive, that I'd renovated a historic building. They love to see the regeneration in Limerick City Centre, which suffers very badly with the heritage being degraded here. And then the letter came and it said no. So now that the planning is going to be linked to the register, it's on the record is what's going to count. My three properties are not going to make a bit of difference. And if
those, your three properties and the thousands of others around the country can no longer be let on short-term rental, though, will they become long-term homes that are so badly needed?
I don't think so, because this figure of 12,000 is really, I heard it said at an Oireachtas meeting that I was able to tune in online, that this is a back of the matchbox figure. Nobody actually knows.
Maybe that's why you need a register, so to know those actual numbers, but also then to impose rules and restrictions to free up more houses.
I totally agree. We do need a register, because the first, you cannot have policy on something unless you really have a very clear understanding on what the facts and figures are. So they need to do that first. They need to know exactly what the stock is. When they do that, then I think they should sit down and go, yeah, okay, so Limerick needs a certain amount of short-term let because they fulfil a service. So let's grant that many licences and then, you know, do that territory by territory. That makes more sense. This kind of blanket no to everything and cutting off your nose to spite your face just doesn't make any sense.
And that's Nicole there, not an against the law type of girl, she says, who lets three properties in Limerick City on Airbnb with no plans to change that, she says. How likely, John, are other short-term hosts to switch to becoming long-term landlords?
Not very, Cormac, according to a survey of short-term letting hosts conducted by Airbnb voluntary community leaders across Ireland last month. Out of 223 respondents, 89% said they would not switch their properties to long-term lettings. And this has been the mood at meetings of Airbnb hosts that have been held in various regions across the country in recent weeks. Many telling me they're not against the register as such, though they have concerns about privacy, security, sharing data, like having to put air codes on this register, and of course planning permission, which they expect to be rejected, as was the case in Nicole's case there, as you heard. Lorna Cahill lets out a granny flat attached to her home near the County Clare coast in Milltown Malbay, and she's the volunteer Airbnb host community leader for Clare, Limerick and Tipperary. She'll be among many joining a gathering of short-term letting hosts at Leinster House next week before addressing Oireachtas members, and I asked her why the hosts she represents feel their properties are not suited as much needed long-term homes.
Because they're suitable for summer lets. They're very small. They're in people's gardens. People use them for family throughout the year, and then they use them for short-term lets in between family staying. Some people use them to accommodate foreign students during the winter months, and then to accommodate visitors, tourists and workers during the summer months. From my own experience, my property is far too small. It's got two bedrooms, a kitchen stroke sitting room. You couldn't house a family in it. For one person, again, too small, there's no storage. It's a beautiful apartment for holidays, but not for long-term lets.
So you don't accept that this is the big solution that it might be portrayed as in the housing crisis. Tell me about your plans to address the Oireachtas next week and what Airbnb and short-term rental providers will be saying.
We want to explain to the government exactly who our client group is, if you like, but also how the circular economy benefits hugely and would actually collapse in many small towns, villages and coastal areas in Ireland if short-term lets were to be greatly reduced. The housing problem has been around for many, many years, long, long before I ever started short letting my little granny flat. I would like to think that we could be part of the solution, but we're not. These properties will not be returned to the long-term market. And I really cannot accept that we are the cause of the housing crisis.
And there you have it, Airbnb community leader Lorna Cahill from Milltown Malbay, ending John Cook's report there. And I'm joined on the line now by Rory Hearn, who's Assistant Professor of Social Policy in Maynooth University and author of Gaffes, Why No One Can Get a House and What We Can Do About It. Rory, you're very welcome to the programme. You heard, you were listening to Nicole and Lorna there. They're not for turning on this one.
Yeah, I think, you know, a number of points are important to make here. Firstly, they're right that, you know, Airbnb and the Airbnbification of housing and this conversion of long-term lets to short-term lets hasn't created the housing crisis. You know, at the heart of it has been the, you know, failure of governments to build social housing for years, which has left, you know, this conversion of, you know, like rental accommodation into social housing through the housing assistance payment. We're now seeing those people evicted. But there is a real issue. It is contributing to the housing crisis. And if we look at it, they're saying the number of units isn't significant. Well, if you look at the census from showed that there was 38,000 vacant rental properties across the country. And we know that the quite a significant proportion of that 38,000 are forms of short-term lets.
How do we
because
know
you
that?
Only have about, well, you only have about 1,200 advertised currently on DAF.
But how many of them have simply got out of the game?
Well, so you see, this is the question. They've got out of the game and they're letting their property lie vacant. There is a platform called Inside Airbnb that does draw on the Airbnb data, and it's considered reputable in terms of a decent analysis, and the figures are drawn on, and this is where the government gets its estimation of 12,000 units. It has figures that show there's 16,000 entire homes being let on a long-term basis in Ireland on Airbnb, and about 5,000 to 6,000 of those are multiple properties. So like some of your
Let's accept the general thrust of your argument that these are being used as short-term lets, even though Lorna, I think, or Nicole was saying, we don't really know exactly what the figure is. But they didn't come into this to break the law. That's what they said. They now find themselves on the wrong side of the law. What do you think should happen?
Well, I think that the first of all, the government has moved very, very slowly on this, way too slowly. Like even the we have existing laws in place that, you know, your speaker there who was hosting Airbnb admitted that they're breaking, which I thought was quite shocking in its own way. So, for example, if you're in a rent pressure zone, you are supposed to apply for planning permission for change of use, yet only 142 applications have been made since that was brought in 2019. Yet we know thousands of units are being turned into short-term lets. So the existing law isn't being enforced.
So
it's not being enforced by local authorities. So what should be done is local authorities should be enforcing the existing rules so that where housing is being turned from long-term lets into short-term lets, that is being followed up on. It's being actually not just turned down for planning permission, but penalties are imposed. Because when we look at this, this is like threshold, as you said in your introduction, are very clear. The conversion of short-term, of long-term rentals to short-term lets is a very real issue.
But hang on
and
a
we
second
know,
here,
you know,
because
it was argued,
I don't
just sorry,
know.
Make an important point.
Yeah, go on, sorry, yeah.
So just an important point is that, you know, the argument is made in tourist areas, this is needed. But we also know that in tourist areas, people will tell you that they are being evicted from homes that are being converted into Airbnb and they can't find anywhere to rent. So the people who are come from or live in tourist areas can't find anywhere to rent. So it's not just a case that, well, we need to provide housing for tourists. We also need to provide housing for workers to work in areas of tourism
And that is a fair point. But it's a question of balance as well, isn't it? Because this listener says, are the government going to tell me that I can't go to my holiday home on weekends of my choosing? I'm serving a purpose by letting it as Airbnb for tourism in my rural area during periods that I don't plan on using it.
You see, this is the thing that, you know, people own multiple properties. And if it's a tourist, if it's your holiday home, then there's a need to look at that. But this is something that is where this is an issue is we've very clearly in a rent pressure zone, you are not supposed to be letting your property out for longer than 90 days. But if it's not your primary residence. But that is not happening. That has been breached by thousands of property owners.
But what people are telling us, Rory,
is... if they're breaching the law, is that right or wrong? Surely it's wrong.
But what people are telling us, though, is... like, even if they enforce the law, as you say, the local authority should implement the law, even if they do, based on... And obviously, it's not a scientific example, but based on the testimony that we have from John Cook's report, they won't be going to long-term leasing. Because it would be a drop in income and more regulation. And most short-term letters don't want that.
But see, this is the question of, you know, so what happens to their property then? Does it sit vacant? You know, and this is a real issue we have. We have 166,000 vacant properties shown in the census. That we have a real problem in this country where multiple property owners think, I can do whatever I want with my property. But property isn't like any other business. A home is what people need. We have a housing emergency. I've made this point before. It's like thinking, you know, you're in a famine and it's okay to hoard food. You can't look at housing like any other business.
You're talking about the moral argument, and the moral argument wins on every ground except on practical grounds, because sometimes, for whatever reason, the moral argument doesn't penetrate into people's practical lives. And I said it wasn't... a scientific study, but there was a recent study, wasn't there, a short-term letting hosts last month. 90% of short-term hosts said they wouldn't move to long term. So the question is, I suppose, if the moral argument doesn't win, should you incentivize them to move?
You could incentivize them to move, or you could also penalize them not to move, or to move as well, in that, for example, the vacant property tax, if that was significant enough. So you can't just let your property lie idle, that there is, you know, the government has introduced a vacant property tax, but it's self-assessment. Again, the question is, will it be enforced?
Okay.
But that, I think there needs to be penalties like that. But the wider question of, you know, this conversion of long-term rentals into short-term, we're hearing about landlords leaving. It is a factor in landlords deciding, well, let's go make money off Airbnb. And okay, I think that's really unacceptable in a housing shortage.
Okay, in the midst of a housing crisis, penalise or incentivise Airbnb hosts or short-term letters. Thank you very much indeed, Dr. Rory Hearn. Thank you for that. You can text us and let me know what you think to Rory's suggestion to 51551.